Hi, this is Forbes, and this is the IPSI SDA Media Network.
Amen. The last thing he said was, it's the food. It's the food. What food? What is food? The stuff that we are eating, the stuff that we're passing by our teeth. We're killing ourselves by knife, fork, and spoon. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. What about you? We need to educate ourselves or re-educate ourselves or find out what is the real meaning of food. What is food? Nutrition. Amen? They say that 80% of all our diseases comes from food. As we go to our scripture reading, it's short, it's sweet. It says what? It says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It was brought to my attention that in the King James Version, they spell thee with a small t. But that was referring to God, so it's a capital T. But what if we change it slightly so that it's more personal? That thee could be you or me. What are we hiding in our hearts nowadays? What are we hiding in our hearts nowadays? Part of my sermon is called Stealthy. Some people kind of look at that word strange and say, what is stealth or what is stealthy? Hiding, is it, I'm not trying to be sneaky or, you know, undermining or underhanded or sly. When it says hide the word of the, in your heart that you will not sin against thee, there's a reason for that. Being that we're born in sin, shaped in what? We already got some bad stuff in there anyway, amen? So in order to crowd out that stuff, we need to hide something that's good. That's why we need to study the Word of God, and that way we can have something in our hearts. When something, we can hide something in our hearts so that when it is shared with others or someone else in need of it, it will be of some good. Amen? That's why I call it stealthy. Now, can you keep a secret? How many can keep a secret? Good. Want to hear a secret? Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
And it ain't no secret. So how can you keep a secret? Especially that of such importance. Stealthiness means hide something in your heart, especially when it deals with the gospel, when it deals with building up God's kingdom. Hide the stuff in your heart that when you go into the market and the highways and the byways, you'll have the tools for building up God's kingdom and tearing down the devil's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Can you keep another secret? You can't? Jesus is coming soon. How many heard that before? Amen. I heard that when I was a kid. And I was saying like a kid, you know, I haven't even lived yet. What do you mean Jesus Christ is going to come soon? I haven't even done some of those things that some of those grown people have done. I haven't got my own apartment so I can eat my own what I want to eat. And Jesus Christ is coming soon? But here, that was back in the 1900s. Amen? And here we are in the 2000s. And Jesus Christ hasn't come soon yet. Why is that? Well, somebody's always trying to predict when Jesus Christ is going to come, right? But no man knows, no one knows the hour or the day. Only the Father in heaven knows, right? So when you see that secret, look at that word soon and think of it as an acronym. An acronym is where words are built up by the letters. Suddenly, out of nowhere.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I remember as a child, I was not supposed to be doing something. Some of y'all know my mom. Henrietta Dabney, oh boy. And she's got a fist like a man. Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, what I was doing, I wasn't supposed to be doing, right? At times, Mom would tell me not, and they would go in one ear and out what? The other. And she said, all right, I'm going to get you for old and new. And I would forget. And sometimes I'll be chilling somewhere, doing something, and not supposed to be doing, or I didn't do what I was supposed to do. As a young child, we have that option. Not a right, but an option. And sometimes she would take her hand and just warm up my pants with it. Amen?
Amen.
Suddenly, out of nowhere. Amen? Jesus Christ, when he comes, he says he's going to come like a thief in the night. Not a thief in the night, but as a thief in the night. Amen? That should be a warning to us to be ready when he comes. Not ready that we're going to be caught doing something we ain't supposed to be doing, but caught in something that we're doing. But because this world is all messed up and he's got to clean it up, he's going to take us out of the way so he can clean it up. Amen? He's only going to take those who have a Christ-like character. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to be ready when he comes, and that will be soon, suddenly out of nowhere. Amen? Can you keep another secret?
Is that the door?
Yes. This is a secret that I want you to bear in mind, but you don't have to keep it. But just know that the enemy of our souls is hoping that you and I will keep the secret to ourselves when Jesus is telling us to tell everyone. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Jesus Christ is coming, so get ready. So hide that in your heart, so that when we're in the house of the Lord, we're fellowshipping with one another, we're all of the same faith and we believe that. But do others outside of this hall see that in you? Or if they are wondering what's going on, and they don't have a religious background, can you share that at an opportune time when the Holy Spirit presents it to you? So hide the Word of God in your heart stealthily so that you can be of a good service to those who are in need. The other part of my sermon was called Healthy. I can be up here all day about health, amen? And I'm not a doctor or a nurse, but I'm a living soul who has learned a thing or two because of the body that I'm in. The medical field knows that it's not their responsibility to keep you healthy, get you healthy, or teach you what health is. That's your responsibility. But if you get in trouble, we can make some money off of you. I want to share with you a video that I saw many years ago. It was produced back in the 60s, so the quality on the internet is not that great. But the message is clear. With science and politics back then, they knew that they had, that there's always been a cure to cancer. This video is called A World Without Cancer by Edward G. Griffin. It's on the internet now. It disappeared for a while, but it's on the internet now because they know that nobody's interested in the cure. But he presented it in a way that a little kid can understand what cancer is, how it comes into the body by a lack of nutrition, and how it can be cured, reversed, and done away with by the proper nutrition. They've done it all around the world. There's studies on it. Not only B17, which they're talking about in this video, but other botanicals around the world, like the mangosteen fruit, one of the king of fruits, they call it, or queen of fruits, they call it. The xanthrones, they call the little complex molecules in them. Those molecules are so potent that they reverse cancer. the medical field in the United States and other Western countries or Western style countries, they know the cure is out there. But they have outlawed it because they can make more money treating cancer than curing it. And I'm sick and tired of hearing people talk about, I'm passionate about it because I have loved ones and friends who are suffering from it. But I'm sick and tired of the sick and tired environment that we're living in, where we're all sick and tired because we are sick and tired and nobody knows any way of getting out of that sick and tired mentality and habit. I know I'm not making any sense, but this sick and tiredness is all because some kind of way we have been fooled by the Food and Drug Administration that we have no responsibility for our health. If you read the Word of God and you study the Word of God and you apply the Word of God in your life, you can be healthy. Amen?
Amen.
Healthy. I'm not talking about having a mindset that patented medicines and surgery is God's ideal health plan. God did surgery in the beginning, in Genesis. It talked about God performing the first surgical procedure. What was that? He took a rib out of his side and created Eve. He healed it up, presented another specimen for Adam. But that doesn't mean that we have to be subject to a lifestyle of surgeries after surgeries, and surgery is the only option because the medicine is not working. I'm not talking about that kind of health. Again, I say the healthcare ministry is lying to us. They have an awesome responsibility, trauma and drama all over the place. But when it comes to health, it's not health. It's sick care management. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 29, it says there, if you can get your Bibles or make note of this, it says that God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be meat." Technically, in the Old Testament, anything that you chew was meat, including especially vegetation. The seed is very important in this scripture because a lot of the superfoods that are on the market, like broccoli, strawberries, what's that? Name some of them. Anybody? Superfoods, anyone? No? Don't know? Kale? Blueberries? Kale, okay. What's that, pomegranate? Some other soup. The reason they are so super is because they haven't altered them so bad that the seeds are not in them. I remember as a kid, loved strawberries when I first discovered strawberries, but I didn't like the crunchiness of the seeds. I remember as a kid, I can't remember how old I was, but I was trying to pick the seeds away. Yeah, I didn't like the seeds. Huh? But I had to give up after, could only get about it. And then I start tolerating the seeds. But you notice in this verse, God said, fruits and vegetables with seeds. The miracle is in the seed. Amen? Amen. A lot of the botanicals around the world that they use for health reasons, they use either the pulp, the seed, the rind, and all these things. Because the vegetables in the plant-based, there's so much complexity in there that does the body good. But a lot of times we're subject to a system where they want long shelf life and profit. So they take all the good stuff out and they give you what, cardboard? Oh, they call it carbohydrates, amen? Healthy. Have you ever heard this? That's our health message. What are they doing with it? Nobody ever heard it? How many heard that? I've heard it a couple of times. Like we're exclusively the only ones that's supposed to have a health message. Amen? There are people in the secular world that are finding out that it's important. How important is air?
Without it, you die.
How quick?
Very rapidly.
Within 6 minutes. I think it's clinically you're dead at, what is it, 6 minutes? Brandon, you know that?
I don't know, I keep them alive.
Amen, amen. You're gonna do good, man. You're in the right field. Amen. But if you were to hold your breath and try to hold your breath as long as you can, how long could you hold your breath? Oof, somebody say 4 minutes?
I think you're dreaming.
The record in breath holding is about 26 minutes or somewhere around there. Genesis records. Yeah, Google it. You'll find it. But they had to do it artificially. What they did is they sucked oxygen for minutes and minutes and purged themselves of carbon dioxide and got the blood so saturated with oxygen that when they went under the water and they were being supervised by a doctor, they could hold their breath underwater for 20 and 25 minutes. The record, I believe, is something like 26. Unheard of. Amen? But in the sedentary life that we're in, how long do you think you could hold your breath? If you're an airplane flying at 40,000 feet, something happens and it's depressurized. What do they say? First put on your mask before what? Why? Because in a matter of minutes, you could be so deprived of oxygen, you could black out before you get the mask on. That quick, you could be blacked out. Oxygen is very important. It should be right on the top of the list of God's plan. Amen? But we have nutrition and exercise and water. Oxygen, if we don't have oxygen, we would die in minutes. So having said that, and we know, and medically or what do you call it, physically, we know that the body is making carbon dioxide, right? And expelling it in our, when we exhale, right? And when we suck in the air, we're what? Extracting what? Oxygen, because the body, every cell of the body needs the oxygen, right? So, why do we put in carbon dioxide in our bodies in the form of soda pop? The body's trying to get rid of it, but we're putting it in? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. But we're conditioned to take something in that the body is trying to get rid of. Amen? We need to change that paradigm, you know? Amen? And soda pop is just the mild introduction to get you into harder things to drink. The medical field, food industry has got a lot of little tricks like that, amen? What does carbon dioxide, if it builds up in your body, what does it do to the bones?
Deteriorate them.
Deteriorate them, weaken them.
Right.
What does it do to the kidneys? Yes, we are. So this health message needs to be applied all across the board in all kinds of ways. And it doesn't take rocket science to understand that our bodies are marvelously made by God. And we need to take care of them. So the health message is for everyone. Psalms, the 90th chapter, verse 10, it reads, "The days of our years are 70. And if by reason strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." The average person lives how many years? 70 years, that's the 70. And by reason of God's grace, we can live 80 years. But it's usually in pain and challenges. If we would learn some of the secrets of the Bible that teach us how we can live, especially the one about seeds and the food, if we can learn all these things, maybe we can avoid some of those pains and sufferings and don't have to go to the doctor where they prescribe controlled patented medicines. And if that don't work, let's do some exploratory surgery. And if you can do without some of these vital parts, or you got two, you want to go, that's all right. Surgery is an option, okay? And if that doesn't work, get ready for a burial. That's got to stop. If it doesn't stop with us, who is it going to stop with? Maybe we need to pass on these things of health to our young people so they can have a fighting chance. When the medical field and the doctors and lawyers who are making money off of sick care, and they look at our children as, oh, here's a new batch, a new generation of people we can make money off. They say that the average American, they go working their lives 40 years. They work their lives 40 years to accumulate wealth and assets. And after they retire, shortly after they retire, they spend all that wealth, remortgage their house to try to keep what little health they got and keep from dying. They know that you're going to spend that money. That's why it's so expensive. Amen? But if you would spend it up front with some health principles, maybe you wouldn't have all that money wasted when you should be retiring and having fun with your grandchildren and traveling the world. We need to change that, amen?
Amen.
Health. Have you ever heard this? So healthy minded, he's no earthly good?
Yeah.
I heard heavenly minded. Mm-hmm. But what about so healthy minded? Sometimes you're so careful that you turn people off. I remember when I was first started being a vegetarian, it wasn't popular back there in the 70s. Wow, is that long? And the friends and relatives, the reason I was being, it wasn't for fad or religion, it was because of health. I was trying to get my health back because I was very active back then, and I like to be healthy, and I didn't like pain. So when I went through the experience of just something like allergies, the results of what the doctor said, he's going to send me over to the U of M, check out what I'm allergic to, and set me up for shots, horrified me. I hate shots. I mean, I just hate them. Anyway, I had a bad experience as a child when they do the immunization shot. I forget what shoulder it was, but I ached for weeks, and I don't know if I had a reaction or something as a child, but from that point I had a fear and just a hatred for needles. I'm a little better now. But when I had those allergies and the doctor would not just give me a prescription so I can get through the dandelion season, and he said he was going to set me up for shots, I went cold turkey. Vegetarian. And when I did, I turned off a lot of people I used to run around with. They said I was so healthy-minded, I was no earthly good. Amen? But if you're doing it for health, be a little humane about it. You know, be a little, be an example if somebody is in need of another option with all the different things they're going. And don't beat them over the head with, you know, you got to be a vegetarian or whatever like that. Like I tried. Okay, amen?
Amen.
The scripture reading, Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against what?
Powers,
against what? Rulers of the darkness of this world, against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places." The verse says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. This is not a flesh and blood thing. But we wrestle against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't get the wrestle backwards. Amen? Those things that are bad for you, you need to be wrestling against them. And the things that are good for you, wrestle with them. Like Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, he said, I won't let you go until what? You bless me. Well, when you're up against an obstacle, especially your health issues, and God is trying to teach you something so you can apply it to your life to get the correction, wrestle with it. Don't give up until God bless you. Amen? And he will prevail, and he will bring on that blessing. I'm a prime example of that. The allergies, I'm hard-headed sometimes, and especially when I first got into this kick in the allergies, I was told by the way I discovered it, I knew it as a Seventh-day Adventist. I grew up in the faith, and we knew about the eight laws of health, but it wasn't applied, and I was young. And I thought maybe once I got on my own, I could eat anything I want. I went through 1 year of college, came back, and I was a wreck. I had a girlfriend at that time, and I was taking her to an interview where they were interviewing two pre-med students. These pre-med students came from India and Pakistan. And they were young, about 17 years old, but the program was so impressive that through her class or whatever, she was supposed to interview them, see what was the difference between the Western or the United States their educational programs and how the programs over there are so superior that they can produce young teenagers out of high school that were already prepped for university, college, or doctorate programs. Well, I was a chauffeur, and I was just sitting over the side, just listening kind of nonchalantly. But it was also dandelion season, and the DamuTab that I had purchased was not kicking it. I was there running, my nose was running, I was blowing my nose, and just having a miserable day, making the best of it. I was listening to them talk about certain things. As they were talking about the program that they were subject to, and that was to go out into the rural area, the farm areas, and also the city life, and compare what diets contributed to what diseases. It made a little sense, but it wasn't, you know, all that interesting. But as they were reporting to her, saying that the people over in the rural areas, they didn't have the heart disease, the kidney disease, they didn't have the hardening of the arteries. And I'm saying, whoa, that's some mean stuff. Why? Because of their plant life diet or plant-based diet. But over in the city, they had all kinds of diseases because of their lot of eat meeting, dairy products, junk food, and a whole host of things that was contributing to a lot of their diseases. And that list that they said was allergies. You know, heart disease, and allergies. When they said allergies, that got my attention. Amen? So after the interview was over, she was talking to one young med student. And so I said to the other med student, I pulled him over and said, hey, what's this about a diet has something to do with allergies? And so he explained some things to me. And this is a young guy, and he was only a few years than I, but a young guy, and he didn't have any notes, but he was talking like he was an authority on how these things work on the body and this and that. And I said, well, how do they get their protein? Duh. And he said, well, they get primary protein from all the vegetables. All vegetables provide all the proteins that you need. So as he's explaining this, I'm making mental note of this, right? And so then I ask him, well, how can I reverse an allergy? I have an allergy. He said, oh, you can lick that. Just, get rid of the junk food and the pop and all this and dairy products and candy and sweets and this and start combinating your foods. I said, combinate your foods? Yeah, he said, like, take rice and peas, combinate those. You get all the protein you need. He said, even peanut butter and jelly and bread. which we might call choke and slide on a brick. Amen? That combination, each of those elements in that sandwich has different amino acids at different quantities. And when you stack them, you get all the essential amino acids you need. You can be a vegetarian and get all the protein you need. You don't have to use secondary protein, which is called flesh products or animal products. Dairy products are so messed up now, even Ellen G. White talked about, there'll be a time when dairy products, eggs and stuff like that, it's gonna be so jacked up that you should not consume it. Amen, anybody read that? But we are still priding ourselves, even at potluck. Ice cream? Or some of our songs. When I get to heaven, I'm gonna feast on milk and honey. Almond milk, oh, okay, almond milk. Heavenly milk, okay. That SDA approved milk, right. But there's things on the market that we should not be consuming. Amen? Because it's having a detriment on our health. I'm not saying this to beat up the choir. I'm preaching to the choir, right? But what I'm saying is sometimes when we get into problems and we have family problems, sometimes we need to take a look at ourselves, hard look at ourselves, and see what we're doing that's messing up our lives. Amen? God wants us to be prosperous, healthy. He wants us to be stealthy. Again, I like to share this with you. I call it the poor man's medicines. How many ever heard of the common cold? Nobody's heard of the common cold?
Of course we
have. Okay, let me see your hands. How many? How many have experienced the common cold? When was the last time you had your common cold? Was it 1 month ago, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago? How many are having a cold right now, the common cold? It's so common we just laugh. It's just, oh, come on, man. It's just a cold. But what do colds turn into when they are not checked? Huh? Fevers, flu, pneumonia, it can get kind of deadly. Do you know that viruses and germs are always attacking the body through what we breathe? Always. Every breath you take, you're trusting God that you can extract the oxygen out of it and those heebie-jeebies don't get in the blood. Amen? We're always fighting them off by our immune system. But how many times do you actually know that you are impeding or weakening your immune system hourly? Every meal that you take, if it's not fortified with the things that can build up your immune system, it's usually tearing it down. Here's something that you might want to think and try about. Just be careful if you are talking face-to-face to your spouse. Garlic, fresh garlic. If you have the first sign of a cold, what is the first sign of a cold? Anybody know?
Scratchy throat.
Little tickle in the throat, in the nose, a sneeze here and there, and something's trying to invade your body. It's trying to get through the mucus stage and lodge itself into the flesh of your warm, moist body. Your immune system can start to attack it right then if you have it fortified. Or you can take a clove of garlic. Now, this is just for educational purposes only. I'm not a doctor or a nurse, right? But this is something you can try, and if it works, it works. Praise the Lord. If it don't, try something else. There are other things, but garlic is one of the most powerful antioxidants that the scientists are still trying to discover all its benefits, intrinsic factors, so that they can patent it and market it. Amen? Take one fresh garlic clove. nibble off a little piece, fresh garlic. I know it sounds strange. Just about the size of a rice grain or a pea or whatever you can handle. Crunch it just a little, not chew it. Crunch it just a little. And a little oil will come out and coat your teeth and gums. As soon as you feel that burn, and it's coming, swallow that little piece. You have crunched it, got the saliva going, it's going to start working and bathe your throat. And that solution that you put down your throat will kill those viruses as they are trying to get into your flesh. Try to crunch off another piece. You can get two or three pieces, even a half a clove or a whole clove, down into your stomach. There's where it starts to work, and it starts to get in the blood and build up your white cells, your white blood cells, that it can fight off the virus before it gets past the mucus stage. Amen?
Amen.
Try it. If it works, praise the Lord.
It does work.
But I'm not a doctor or a nurse, so I'm just giving this to you for educational purposes. Amen? That's my disclaimer. Amen? Another little known fact that has been totally erased from our minds, but the old people know about it. Fresh lemons with the seed. Remember I said in Genesis 1:29, was it? God gave us plants with seeds. The lemon can help lower blood pressure, but you better be careful with it if you're on the doctor's medicine. Again, I'm not a doctor. You need to try it off and on every other day or every other week or something to get that blood pressure under control. What that lemon does, it acts like Roto-Rooter in the arteries, the veins, and the carpuscles. It will clean the arteries with other ingredients like other things like cayenne pepper or what is the other things? Garlic and others. It will weak or clean up plaque in the arteries. I knew I would get silence on that. They say that sclerosis of the arteries, that's incurable. You're going to be on pressure medicine for life. Again, I'm not a doctor, but this is one of what you call those poor man medicines.
Yeah, health nugget.
Oh, yeah, but this is beyond health nugget. This is poor man's medicine that you need to know about or teach your kids about it, because this is not something you're going to get in school. You need to pass it on. Amen?
Amen.
And use it wisely and carefully, because if you are in that kind of trouble, it took you years to get to that point. But it can be reversed with God's help, and you have patience with your body to get it reversed. Another thing is cancer. There's basically five cancers, but B17 is one of those super complex molecules that God created that is found in some seeds in higher amounts. The apricot kernel, I'm talking about the bitter apricot, raw kernel, has enough B17 in it, and depending on how many you eat, to reverse and kill cancer. Why isn't this commonly known? Huh? It's too cheap. They can't make any money off of this. But bear this in mind, I'm sharing this with you because with this B17, especially the apricot kernel, over the years I have done some things that I'm not bragging, praise the Lord. Prostate cancer is not my problem. Amen? I put it in the hands of the Lord and I said, Lord, if this is the way, I'll be eating these kernels for the rest of my life. Amen? But you got to be careful with this too, because if you're at a certain stage where cancer was, stage 1, 2, 3, 4, A lot of times the damage is done, the body is in decline. And if you do use these simple remedies, a lot of times it's so bad that all you did is prolong your death. That's why we need to get our young people involved in these things so they don't get as old as we are and have these troubles. Because God is a God of the living. What? Not the God of the dead. Amen? Amen. Genesis 6, verse 3. It says here that the Lord, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." That's how many score? Six score? Back there was another part of the scripture that says 70. But 120 years? 60? Who wants to live that long? Nobody?
Well, I want to live forever in heaven.
Amen on that. But why can't we live on this earth like he says, 120 years old? Is it because we've been sold a bill of goods that we're not entitled to live that kind of age? There are some people in the parts of the world, I think it's over in near Pakistan, Hundakuts or somebody, I can't remember the name.
Hunza.
They live well into 120-year range, and they do not have the diseases like we do. A lot has contributed to their diet, and especially the apricot kernel or apricot trees. We don't have to live like this. We don't have to live sick and tired all the time. God wants us to be healthy. I behoove you to study the Word of God and ask him to help you apply the principles that will get some health back in the body. If you have to, when you go to the grocery stores, you ever seen one of those signs? It has an arrow. You're driving around. It has an arrow for whatever turn you're about to turn. And then it has a big red circle and a cross through it. It said that means don't turn, right? You know, don't turn that way. Maybe we need to make one of those patches and put it on our hands when we go in the grocery store. And when we go down those aisles, it has all that junk food, all that stuff that we not have. We have that thing on our hand, and when we go to reach it, we'll see. And don't turn it. Don't go there, right? Because if you look at it, if you look at a lot of the things that we eat, we buy those things without even thinking. Then it ends up on our shelves. It ends up in our cupboards, in our refrigerator. And when we're hungry, I'm so hungry I can eat a what?
Don't eat my horse.
How about a camel? How about changing that paradigm and saying, I'm so hungry I can eat a fresh cashew or carrot? That makes sense, does it? But we need to change our eating habits because 80%, over 80% of our diseases are from the Egyptians. God says, I will not put these diseases that were on the Egyptians on you if you listen to my counsel. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe we can get a little more life out of these bodies. The last portion I'm going to talk about, and I guess we will not have the video that we planned on having, but I will give you the information so that if you want to look at it in your own convenience at home or whatever, you can go to those places. There are three I'll share with you at the end. The last portion is wealth. I'm only going to spend a few minutes on that. Wealthiness or wealthy. I'm not talking about getting rich, stingy, treating God like your own Santa Claus or a genie in a bottle or whatever. I'm talking about the kind of wealth that God has instructed us in the Bible. There's a few verses I'm going to share with you. It's called Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, verse 19. It says, for the love of money, what? Okay. Which while some covet after, they have earned, they have erred from faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. God gives us strength to get what? Wealth. And our wealth is to be used for what?
Wisely
to do what?
Help others learn how to love, for one thing.
Build up God's kingdom and tear down the devil's kingdom. I was going to go back to that. All right. Nor am I saying God has given us wealth. About gimme till it hurts. Or giving and giving until God hurts. And being so burdened or giving yourself away and not have anything for yourself. And you be in want, and it jeopardizes you and your family. I'm talking about a balance in health. Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, it says, Oh yes, there it is. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Some people say, well, that's in the Bible. Yes, it is. Money is a defense. It's the representation of your sweat equity. You can use it for a defense as well as an offense, but God wants you to use it as a defense. Especially in these times when there is no real defense against all the evils that are around us. God wants us to be wealthy in a way that we honor him in wise stewardship with our goods. Amen? All right. Jesus Christ talks about, how can you spoil a man's house? You bind him up, and then you can spoil his house. God does not want to bind us up. He wants to let us free. With our wealth, we need to set up plans where we can get more free. When you're talking about a job, maybe God wants you to be an entrepreneur in a way that you have more wealth to do greater things than even your family or friends can do. So wealth is an asset that God wants to give us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to bring this to an end. And I'm going to share some things that I think you might be interested in. I did mention the video called A World Without Cancer. It is a very educational documentary by Edward G. Griffin. He talks about the science and the political climate about cancer and why it's not well known that B17 is a cure for cancer that God created for us, but it's been outlawed. But we need to take it upon ourselves to find the things that God wants us to have so we can help ourselves and our friends to health. Another is you can do some, there's our studies in mostly the, equator belt of third world countries and other world countries. Their universities have studied mangosteen, the mangosteen fruit, and how it has, and they study extensively what the xanthrones, and there are lots of xanthrones, but this particular fruit can reverse cancer and heal the cancer cell. Some kind of way it has extra electrons in it, and it's a sugar molecule, and because the cancer cell is addicted to sugar, and it's always burning sugar, when it gobbles up that xanthrone, it unravels it, and the extra electrons go in and prepare the cell at the cellular level, giving it the right amount of electrons to help it function right. There's all kinds of studies in all kinds of periodicals and all kinds of things that you can learn how to beat this cancer and share it with others. Because it's not there, not the medical field's responsibility to keep you healthy, make you healthy, or even teach you what health is. God wants you to be healthy, stealthy, and wealthy. I pray that these things that I've shared with you will be a blessing and not a curse, that you'll be able to use this by self-evident experiment, trying it for yourself and see what kind of results you get. And maybe you can reverse something what the doctor's telling you by letting God help you with your health, taking the 8 laws of health and making it personal. One more thing about the 8 laws of health. Just like your hands have 5 digits, there's 4 fingers and a thumb, the 8 laws of health are no good without the other 2. Just quickly, the other 2 are obedience and praise. Obedience and praise. No matter what your situation, whether you're on the road to recovery or you're in the midst of health issues, when you praise God and you start seeking His kingdom, all His righteousness, and you start listening to the still small voice directing you on what to do to correct that problem, you can praise Him for the information and the message that it got through to you. It's going to make the devil mad. He'll leave you alone. But when you apply it through obedience makes those 8 principles work like a charm. Then God can be praised, and we can have the kind of strength and vitality to do His will and not the devil's will. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this time we had together. I thank You for this message that You put on my heart, and You asked me to share with Your people. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us as we ponder what was heard, and that we will be faithful in giving You our last chance, especially in these days where we're falling by the wayside with unheard of diseases that You are not in the blessing of. You are the God of the living, and You want us to be healthy. So Lord, help us to trust You and obey You. And if anything out of all this and health is gained back, Lord, You get all the praise, You get all the glory. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.